My brothers and sisters, and now I would like to talk about another name and also an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most glorious, the exalted. Some people ask me, why do I say name of Allah and then I say attribute? What is the difference? The name is merely the name. And a name does not necessarily have a description. So when we say Allah's name, it also carries an attribute, meaning a meaning of that name that applies to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. In Arabic you say al-asma was-sifat, names and attributes. Allah has attributes, but His attributes, there is nothing like them. And tonight's name and attribute I have chosen is Al-Jabbar. Al-Jabbar. Can you all say it? Al-Jabbar. Al-Jabbar has many meanings, and there is no one word in English that can describe it. But if I want to make a very quick introduction to its meaning and then I go into detail, it means the compeller, the overpowering, the restorer, the mender of the broken, the reformer by force, the force of exaltation. All of these are meanings close to what the Arabic attribute of Allah is, His name Al-Jabbar. The name Al-Jabbar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appears only once in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hashr. We don't know the wisdom behind why it is definite wisdom why it's mentioned only once, but some of the possible explanations is because the name carries more than one meaning. And it also has appeared in the Quran in a sequence of other names of Allah that it just solidifies and pins down the full meaning of all the names. It's like the conclusion of them all. So the verse where it appears is in Surah Al-Hashr, Surah 59, verse 23, Allah says, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمُهَيْمِنُ الْعَزِيزُ الْجَبَّارُ. He is Allah. There is no God but He, the King, the Holy, the All Peace, the Giver of Security, the Overseer, the Most Mighty, the Overpowering, Al-Jabbar, the All Great, exalted be He from whatever they associate with Him. Al-Jabbar al-Mutakabbir, Subhanallah amma yushrikun. All great is He, exalted be from whatever they associate with Him. So you can see the name in the end, Al-Jabbar, just before the name, the All Great, the overpowering, the compeller, the most exalted. That concludes all the names. The King, the Holy, the All Peace, the Giver of Security, the Overseer, the Most Mighty, are all inside that one name. They have the name Al-Jabbar is so wide that it can carry all those names as well. So my brothers and sisters, let's go through them in a little bit more detail, through the meanings of Al-Jabbar. Al-Jabbar encompasses three main meanings for us to learn. Now we are learning Allah's names and attributes, so the more you know His names and attributes, the more you know Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you know Allah's names and attributes, the more you live your life as if you can see Him. But although you cannot see Him, you know that He sees you. The more you learn Allah's names and attributes, the more you feel His presence with you. And the more you learn His names and attributes, the more you are familiar with how to connect with Him, as if you are, everywhere you go, He's with you. Of course, Allah is with you in His knowledge and His power in every way, shape and form. So there are three encompassing meanings. And before I even say that, another question popped into my mind, just in case people are thinking about it. Why do we say he to Allah in the masculine term? Has anyone asked that question before? Huwa in the Quran is he. But you see, brothers and sisters, he in this context does not describe a gender. It is not there to describe Allah being male or female. He is neither male nor female. There's nothing like unto him. He is the creator of the male and female. So he cannot be a male or female. What is he? Beyond what we can perceive. So he is a linguistic term. It has nothing to do with masculinity or femininity. But it is a linguistic grammar that in Arabic and other languages, such as Italian, French, some other language, even in English, there is a grammatical place for the pronoun he, which they call the royalty or the royal pronoun. For example, when you say he, it implies power, it implies leadership, it implies strength, but it has nothing to do with man. In Arabic, when you say huwa, it's just what's suited for the object you're talking about. In Arabic, you call the wall he, the chair he, the table she, the sun, a she, the moon, a he. But neither of them is male nor female. So he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Arabic, is the pronoun for anything that has power, exaltedness, or merely how it suits linguistically. If you say she in the Arabic language, it necessarily implies female, otherwise it has no meaning. But if you call a person or a being or the existence of someone, Allah who exists, a she, it necessitates that he's a female in the Arabic language. So we say he because he can also imply no gender. In the Arabic language, when you say he, it can imply no gender. When it referring to beings, living beings. As for objects, it doesn't matter. Non-living objects like rock, sun, moon, table. So he, Allah. The name Al-Jabbar encompasses three meanings. Number one, the force of overpowering power. The force. He is the force of overpowering power. For he, glory be to him, is the compeller who subdues the tyrants and overcomes them with his might and greatness. Every tyrant, no matter how powerful, is under the conquest of Allah, the Mighty, in his hand and grasp. You might be asking, then how come there are mighty powers who are oppressive? God, Allah, lets them be. Why doesn't he overpower him? My brothers and sisters, you can't think narrow, you have to think wide. This life is short and nothing stays the same. Do you agree? Nothing stays the same. Does everybody die? Everybody dies. Has ever there been an empire that lasted forever? No. Has there ever been a tyrant who lasted forever? No. This is the way this life goes. Who is the one who created this cycle? Allah. Here you use the name Al-Jabbar. He compelled this world to be that way. And no one can change it. Think about all the tyrants that ever existed. Are they still among us anymore? Think about great empires and dynasties and kingdoms in the history of the world. How many of them perished, never to be known or seen? Remember the pharaohs and their glory and might, to the point some of them were attributed as gods, worshipped, Where are they now? So the meaning here is broader. It means no tyrant stays. And anyone who goes into power or kingdom, even if they are righteous and good, even they don't stay. Did any prophet or messenger stay? No. But in the case of messengers and prophets and good rulers and leaders who were never tyrant, al-jabbar does not mean compeller in a negative way. Compeller means, and even the righteous leaders who were good will also have to face an end to their amazing, beautiful rule, such as Sulaiman alayhi salam. He is the greatest king, prophet, and messenger, and no person after him had a kingdom as powerful as his. Yet Sulaiman alayhi salam also died. In his sense, he becomes an example of good rule, and for the tyrants, they remain as an example of tyranny. Usually, people who lead well, and people who are righteous, and people who are good, and people who worship, carry out the laws of Allah on earth, they don't usually think in the sense of tyranny, that they will take over the world and live forever. But a tyrant ruler often, and we've seen in history, often grows in pride and arrogance and immorality and thinks they want to live forever and their glory be forever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the tyrant has to die and go. We have the great example of Pharaoh, with the great examples of many kings that lived before in the Quran and in the old scriptures that some of them we still have today. There's also another question. What about those who are a community or a whole nation that overpower and oppress the innocent and the weak? Even them, my brothers and sisters, sooner or later, they will perish. And someone else will take over, sooner or later. But we as human beings, we are affected by what we see now. Why is this happening now? We often cannot understand. But Allah tells us, be patient. Sooner or later, victory will come and the tyranny will go. When you read about all the prophets and messengers before, do you think their message to their people worked immediately? Weren't some of the prophets and messengers killed? Yes, the Quran talks about many messengers who were killed, murdered. Some of them were chopped into pieces. Noah alayhi salam, mentioned in the Quran. How long did he preach to his people? 950 years. How many followed him? A handful. Do you understand? But the generations that came later remembered his teachings, and on and on. Sometimes tyranny is a test and a trial for us, for the good people. Because sometimes with oppression, people stand for justice. When there is vice, there is something on the other side. When there is illness and diseases, people learn about cure and treatment. When there's killing and murder, there are people who get up to save lives and protect. When there is oppression, there are those who stand for justice. And such is the way Allah created life. Sooner or later, Allah compels. The entire system of the world in itself and the way it is, and generations replacing others, empires replacing others, tyrants replacing others, good and bad, is the entire compelling system that God, Allah created, which none of us can change. Does that make sense? Allah says, therefore, in the Quran, فَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا. Oh, therefore, you will never find any change to the system that God, Allah, has created this world to be, and you will never find anyone able to alter it from the way it should be. Allah says,
وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلٍ
In Surah Al-A'raf, verse 34, every single nation and community has a expiry date. That's the meaning of compelling. And some people think that just because they died and perished, they're off the hook. We as Muslims believe in what else? What's after this life? What's after this life? Al-akhirah, the hereafter. There's death, then there's resurrection. And then there's day of judgment. And then there's paradise or hellfire. Some stay in hellfire forever. Only Allah knows who deserves that. Some stay for a little while. Only Allah knows who deserves that. Some are saved. Only Allah knows who deserves that. And some of them enter paradise with no punishment or accountability. Only Allah knows who deserves that. But is death the end? No. Those tyrants, if not in this world, Allah compels them when? In the hereafter. This is a world of doing. The hereafter is the world of repayment or punishment. That's it, no doing in the hereafter. Everybody will be brought. Every person who oppressed shall be brought on a day of judgment. Even if somebody took the right of someone else, you borrowed money, didn't give it back while you were able to, and didn't ask for any excuse, any permission or forgiveness, a flag will be brought on top of you on the day of judgment, and the fingers will be pointed by the angel saying, there is a betrayer. A person who oppressed their people, oppressed their children, oppressed their spouse, oppressed their parents, oppressed their neighbors, oppressed their students, oppressed their employees, oppressed the people around them. Anyone, Muslim, non-Muslim, oppressed the creatures, the environment, nature. All of it, if there is oppression, all of it will be compelled to stand before Allah, if not in this world, in the hereafter. And Allah says, وَكُلُّ صَغِيرٍ وَكَبِيرٍ مُحْتَضَرٍ Every minute thing and every big thing is going to be made present. مُحْتَضَر means that it will be brought from non-existence. The entire world will perish. Everything, you and I, everything. And the earth will be changed. Allah says in the Quran, يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ The entire earth will be changed from what you see. And the skies above you will not be the same. So nothing will exist from what we are in today. All of it will go. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring everything that existed back to the day of judgment in that plane. And every small and big thing will be made present. Every secret, every open, every darkness, everything that was in public. Everything. Even what the hearts were concealing. Even what the chests were concealing. Allah says, وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ Even what the chests were concealing will be made apparent on that day. Some people Allah will expose them. Some people Allah will hide them. Some people Allah will forgive them. Everybody, however, something or another will be dealt with. And nobody's going to run away. So the compeller, sooner or later, Al-Jabbar, no tyrant is above him. Subhana, no power is above him. And nobody has the right to call themselves the exalted, the overpowering, except Allah. No one. It is forbidden for any Muslim in Islam to call yourself the exalted or assume yourself the overpowering. Yes, there's people with power, but we say it in a loose sense. You're powerful, but to attribute to yourself the most exalted, the most powerful, the Al-Jabbar, for every human being, it's a negative connotation. It means, Jabbar means oppressor. But to Allah, the compeller, he needs nobody. Since Allah is Al-Jabbar, there are people around us who we sometimes fear, we can't trust, they're double-crossing, they might backstab you, they might hurt you, they might take information off you and use it against you. And our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us a beautiful dua, and it comes from the story of the young boy and the king and the magician. And from that story in Bukhari, we have a beautiful dua that if you say it, it calls upon Allah to save you from every single creature. And you don't have to say many words. So hopefully you can memorize it and teach your children. It's very simple. If you want to repeat after me, you may. Allahumma, Allahumma kfini, ikfini sharra kulla dhi sharrin nasiyatuhu biyadik. Which means, O Allah, with all your names, protect me from all evil as you hold the reins of every evil being. Every evil being. That includes humans, jinns, creatures, insects, any forces around you, nature, everything. That covers everything. So when you fear that people are going to plot against you, or you fear someone is going to double cross you, someone who's got something against you, someone's going to defame you, whatever it is, they're going to put you on social media, they'll do whatever. Immediately go sit down, lift your hands up and say, Allahumma kfini sharra kulli dhi sharrin. Allahumma kfini sharra kulli dhi sharrin. Nasiyatuhu biyadik. O Allah, with all your names, protect me from all evil as you hold the reins of every evil being. You can add more to it. You can also say, I seek refuge in you from the harm of anyone with evil intentions, from bad fate, from wicked spirits, from tyrants, and from all creatures that you control. God, O Allah, please take care of all my matters and don't leave me to rely on myself for even a blink of an eye. Beautiful words and du'as that we can use. Now, speaking about Al-Jabbar, meaning the compeller, the overpowerer, there used to exist a group of people in the past who created a false ideology. And some people ask this question today, what is it? You know how we learnt about Qadr? Qadr, that Allah destines everything. Does Allah destine everything? Uh-huh. So, they ask the question, does that mean I have any free will? If Allah destines everything, do I have any free will? Or does He compel me to be within what He wills and that's it? We have free will. This group that existed a long time ago was called Al-Jabariyya. They took the name of Allah Al-Jabbar and they called themselves Al-Jabariyya, which means you have no choice in life in anything. You have no free will in anything. Whether you're a good person or a bad person, it's not your fault. Because Allah is the one who compelled you to be that way. They believe people have no power, no free will whatsoever. And that is a false pretense. Islam does not teach that. Islam has taught us a balance. Allah's everything is in His power. Within the power that He has is that He made a small stream through His will called free will. He is the one who put free will for us in certain things. The fact that we have free will in certain things means that He compelled us to have free will. It sounds counterintuitive, but if it wasn't for Allah, we will have no free will. Therefore, He's still in control. So for example, if somebody does not pray their five daily prayers while knowing that as a Muslim you should and you must, but they choose not to, do we say that Allah made him that way? No. A person murders someone else willingly for whatever motive. Does that mean Allah compelled them to murder that person? No. Allah said, do not murder. Why would Allah compel you to do something which He forbid? Or compel you not to be something when He told you be it? He told you be honest. And then you choose to lie willingly. Allah did not compel you to lie. And there are many examples. Allah says, فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Whoever wants and wills can believe, and whoever wills can disbelieve. But there is a consequence for each. Allah also says,
سيقول الذين أشركوا لو شاء الله ما أشركنا.
Allah already addressed this. The polytheists of Mecca, who worshipped idols, they used to say, if we make partners with God and worship idols, if Allah willed, we would not have worshipped the idols. So they put the blame on God, on Allah.
وَلَا آبَاؤُنَا
And neither our ancestors, our forefathers wouldn't have worshipped other gods if Allah didn't will it. Allah then says that they also say,
وَلَا حَرَّمْنَا مِن شَيْءٍ
And we wouldn't have forbidden things that God did not forbid. Like Allah willed it for us. Allah then replies,
كَذَلِكَ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِن قَبْلِهِمْ
And this is how those before them lied. And the verses go on that these people also lie. And to each one of them, Allah is going to hold them accountable on the Day of Judgment. So even they, the disbelievers at the time, tried to use this argument that Allah willed for me to be this or that. And Allah says in the Quran, لَا إِكْرَاهَ فِي الدِّينِ There is no coercion in religion. Allah says, you can't force people to be believers. That is not our duty, nor are we asked to do that. We do not convert people by force. Allah says, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنْذِرٌ You are just the person who conveys the warning or the message. وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَادٍ Every people, they'll follow the guidance they want. Umar radiallahu anhu was once, when he was the Khalifa, was approached. He was brought by a man who was an alcoholic and used to drink alcohol and get drunk and cause mischief. So when he was presented to the Khalifa, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, as you know, during the Caliph, when the Caliphate is there and Islamic courts are there, there is a punishment for people who drink alcohol in public. Or people who are, people who drink alcohol in public or they're known to drink alcohol, there is a punishment for it in the community to safeguard the community from people getting drunk and hurting one another. We all know the wisdom, lots of wisdoms behind why alcohol is forbidden. So this man was brought and he said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, O Umar ibn al-Khattab, Allah has decreed for me to drink alcohol. He's the one that made me drink alcohol. I mean, he willed it. If he didn't will it, I wouldn't drink. So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu then decreed, he replied, execute the punishment on him now twice. Not once, twice. Why, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, he said, punishment once for drinking alcohol and once for lying about Allah. Allah never said that He willed for you to drink alcohol, so now you need two punishments. Don't ever say God said something, you lied. He added, woe to you, this. Allah's decree does not take you from choice, your free will. You have a choice to drink or not drink. That is the will of Allah. I hope that clarifies. We move on to the second encompassing meaning of the word Al-Jabbar. It is, and I love this one, the force of mercy by restoring the broken. For He, glory be to Him, compensates the weak with wealth and strength. He heals the broken with protection and mends the hearts that are shattered by relieving their distress and bringing them comfort. And what they receive in terms of reward and good outcomes if they persevere for His sake. He is the one who heals the broken, enriches the poor, makes things easy for those in difficulty, supports the oppressed, and compensates those who are suffering. So that is also the meaning of Al-Jabbar. He mends the broken. And this is the Arabic term we use for a broken bone. When you heal the bone and you put the plaster on it and so on, and then the bone regenerates, it's called Jabr. And Allah's name is Al-Jabbar. We see this in nature, we see this all around us, we see this in our body, we see this in the system of the world, we see this in all the laws of the universe happening, and we see this happening in the relationship Allah calls to us to have with Him. Now you might say, Tayyib, I'm suffering, I'm broken, why hasn't Allah healed me? There are several reasons, my brothers and sisters. Number one, maybe Allah has a plan for you, and that plan is in order to mend something that otherwise would have been greatly broken. Number two, it could be your temporary test. If Allah knows that through this test, many things that would have been broken later will be mended. Number three, maybe good is going to come out of that suffering that you are going through. Perhaps you'll be a new person. You're going to learn greater things. And sometimes Allah wants us to learn from our mistakes. Perhaps He wants you to repent. Perhaps He wants you to come back. But mark my words, anyone who assumes well of Allah, makes their dua to Allah, if there is a command that Allah tells you to do, you carry out that instruction. If there's something He told you to stay away from, work in trying to stop it. In these four ingredients, Allah will mend your broken way and your broken heart and your broken mind. بِإِذْنِهِ تَعَالَى. For example, some of the things Allah called us to do that help you mend the broken, mend yourself, is the last third of the night. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said the hadith of Sahih Muslim. In the last third of the night, your Lord descends to the lowest heaven right before dawn and says, is there anyone asking so I can give him or her? Is there anyone in need so I can fulfill the need? Is there anyone seeking forgiveness so I can forgive them? Is there anyone repenting so I can accept their repentance? And this goes on until the dawn breaks, until Fajr. And many other words and dhikrs and du'as and actions which Allah called us to do, through them, the healing comes. Who is the one that set these avenues and these doorways for Allah to mend our ways? The compeller, the al-jabbar, the healer, the reconciler, the reformer. The one who reforms broken things by force. Nobody can change it. You know, when we look into the ecosystem, for example, the whole ecosystem of the world, nature, when things go out of hand, a disaster happens or a fire or some pollution happens, we find the entire earth and its creatures, even the animals and the seedlings, everything around comes together to work to restore the earth's natural habitat. If there's a fire in a bush, for example, a forest, to us with our eyes we see charcoal. We see the forest burnt and there's nothing living in there. And perhaps some animals will die and the habitat will be ruined in our eyes. But as time goes on, animals come and change their habitat. Some other animals and creatures and insects bring new seeds and pollen. Seedlings under the earth regenerate and grow. The old dies, the new comes. The earth comes back alive. A polluted ocean or water or lake, again, parasites work. Animals come and bring other things. They adapt in different ways. The environment works. The winds come. The polar, everything comes into action and things are restored. Nothing stays broken. It restores. Just as we see this happening in the world, and we see it partly in the way that our skin heals and the way our bones mend, and the way when we wake up at night and our eyes look tired and we can't see well and suddenly the haziness goes away. And when you're feeling tired and your energy comes back, and when you strengthen yourself and do exercise and a lot of things mend when you take the medication, all of this is part of the system that Allah created in His name, Al-Jabbar. When somebody has hurt you and harmed you, nothing stays the way it is. If Allah does not bring them to apologize to you and mend what they did wrong to you, they will also be accountable. If it is not in this world, it is in the hereafter. Nothing goes unaccounted for. Nothing goes unaccounted for. Not even a seed worth, an atom's worth. Subhanallah, even with me this has happened, and I'm sure a lot of you have witnessed this. Just like the what happened to Yusuf alayhi salam in Surah Yusuf. He was thrown in the well, in the dungeon, he was thrown by his family, ridiculed, put down, denigrated, and then he was taken away from his father, almost rotted in prison, and so on, until finally he became the treasurer. And then his brothers, who insulted, ridiculed, tried to kill him, came back to be humbled before him and even bow down to him and seek his pardoning and his forgiveness. Allah says in the Quran, وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. And say, the truth has now arrived and the false has disintegrated, it perished immediately. إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. The system which Allah has created this world to be is that falsehood always perishes. When a time for it to perish comes, it perishes quickly. Quickly. They say in English, the false would have made it halfway across the world before the truth has taken a step. But eventually, guess what? The truth does not stop. It eventually arrives. And the false has an expiry date. It never stays. Never stays. We hear about people hundreds of years ago. They died and there were mysterious things unsolved. Later on, you solve them. And then somebody who used to be glorified, then you find out they were the worst, they were tyrants. Everything arrives. The false perishes. The truth always comes back. I'm sure that you, like me, maybe have witnessed situations where years back or a long time ago, somebody wronged you, defamed you, misjudged you. And then later on, you left it to Allah. You tried your best. And then years later, these same people will come back and they apologize to you. I had people like this in my life many times. I did what I can, and then I left them to Allah. And I said, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Allah is enough for us, and He's the best one to rely on. 7 years later, 9 years later, these same people came back. Wallahi, we wronged you, brother. These things, they do happen. Sometimes you get bullied in school, primary school. I've heard of people, they get bullied in school. 30 years, 40 years later, you might think, oh, that's a long time. Doesn't matter. Afterwards, they come knocking on their door, forgive us. We bullied you in school. We did this, we did that. And if it is not done here, it's going to be in the hereafter. You keep moving on. Your right will never be lost. Yes, it'll be lost with people. But who is Al-Jabbar? People or Allah? Allah is Al-Jabbar. None of us have the power to reform or to fix without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who fixes everything eventually. So rely on Allah and keep going forward, my brothers and sisters, and don't worry, as much as you can. Number three, and the last meaning, it means the force of exaltation above all things. His decree and decision is final. For He, glory be to Him, is above His creation, exalted over them, yet despite His height, He is close to them, hearing their words, seeing their actions, and knowing what their souls whisper. And whenever Allah makes a decision, there is no other decision that will replace it. Allah says, لَا مُعَقِّبَ لِحُكْمِهِ in Surah Al-Ra'd, verse 41. Once Allah's judgment decision is made, there is no other decision after it. It's final. وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ. Allah's matter will always overpower and be exalted. فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدٌ. He will always do what He wants. That's what will happen. And that is why when we say, Rasulullah ﷺ taught us a word, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانْ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَأْ لَمْ يَكُنْ. Whatever Allah wills becomes, and whatever He does not will never become. A speaker at the time of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ stood up once and he said, he was praising the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. He said to Muhammad ﷺ, O Messenger of Allah, oh what Allah wills and what you will. Oh what Allah wills and what you, O Messenger of Allah, will. And So what did he do? He made Allah's will and the Messenger of Allah's will the same, as if they are partners in willing. The Prophet ﷺ replied, "You are a terrible orator. That's not how you speak. You've made me an equal to Allah." Even the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not will unless Allah wills. So my brothers and sisters always say, "Ma sha Allah," and that's it. We find, my brothers and sisters, that in these three meanings, we find our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who to turn to, and that nothing is ever lost, and that hope is always there, and your rights, if not given in this world, will be given in the hereafter, and that you have Al-Jabbar to turn to, so don't turn away from him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Jabbar, is always calling you to him to find comfort and security in him. For in the same verse that I recited before in Surah Al-Hashr, where he says his name Al-Jabbar, he also says Al-Mu'min, the one who gives safety inside of a person's heart. Just like the Pharaoh's wife, Asya, when she was being tortured and killed, Allah gave her safety even while she was under torture. And that is only for a person who's connected to Allah. No morphine needed, no painkillers needed. And of course, morphine is good, but there is good for a person to relieve their pain, that is. But if the doctors prescribe it, don't go off doing drugs, guys. Inside of you, Allah gives you a sense of security that no one else feels. Along with the pain, you still have that security, subhanAllah. And I've seen it with many people, la ilaha illallah. The other day, a friend of mine, I just heard today that a good friend of mine was diagnosed with lung cancer. So I asked what stage it is, and they said to me, it's still in the early stages. I said, how did that happen? Because usually people, they don't know, and they find out later on. Says this brother of his had hernia, and he went to have an operation, got up in the night to go to the bathroom and slipped and broke his collarbone or something. As a result of that, they were doing x-rays, and because of the x-rays, they discovered cancer in his lungs. Had he not fallen, the x-ray wouldn't show it. They wouldn't go to his lungs. So sometimes, my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mends certain things in the most mysterious ways. We might see something really bad, but Allah brings good out of it. And that is the meaning, Al-Jabbar. Are you ready to put your trust in Allah and persevere and be patient? But along with it, follow His guidance and try your best to avoid His prohibited things and repent to Allah consistently. That is the formula. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد والحمد لله رب العالمين.